Welcome to the Max Living Podcast.
We're here to help you live your life to its fullest potential by taking control of your health, identifying the cause of common health challenges, and removing interference. Whether your health journey has had its ups and downs, you're looking for natural answers to common health questions, or you're an advocate for health freedom, come and join us.
Let's align your health.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Max Living Podcast. This is Dr. Ryan Berlin and Ashley Berlin. And today we're talking about something that I think it's a lot of mention, a lot of attention, but it's very misunderstood. And that is body fat and our metabolism.
Ooh, metabolism. Metabolism kind of sounds like a mystery. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, what is a metabolism? Where do you find it? Where is it at in your body?
What is a phenomena?
What is a phenomena? That's exactly what it feels like you when you're that? Like, and you know what? And you feel sometimes metabolism feels like God was handing out metabolisms and he gave some people good ones and some people bad ones. And maybe you're just like stuck with it. Maybe that's how you're feeling, but it's simply not the case. There are things you can be doing that affect your metabolism directly and you can have an impact. You can know exactly what it is. You can know exactly how it works and you can know how to work with it and not against it. And that's the beautiful thing.
Yeah, I think when most people talk metabolism, they're talking about it in reference to when it's outside of a clinical setting, most people are talking about their metabolism in regards to their body composition.
Right.
And we can't talk about body composition without talking about this word that nobody loves to hear or say, which is the F word, fat.
Fat and muscle. Those are two things that comprise your body composition mainly, right? Like when you're talking about body composition, majority of the time, what we're talking about is we're talking about muscle, lean muscle, and we're talking about fat. And we're talking about what, I think it's worth a conversation. And there's something that when you want to avoid a topic, like when you don't want to say the word, when you want to avoid the topic, there's something about dancing around it and just like having the mystery behind it that sort of adds layers, more bricks to the wall between you and that subject, right? And so I think the best thing that we could really do is just dive head first into it. Talk about what is fat? How does it work? How does it work in your body? Is it useful? What is the role that it plays? What's it made of? Is it just one thing or is it multiple things? I think there's a lot to unpack in this topic.
Yep. I think one of the reasons that it can be so confusing is that when we think of fat in terms of body fat, and then we think of fat in terms of animal fat, which is their body fat, and then we think of fats like olive oil, we think of fats like butter, that we assume that's all the same thing, and it's the same word, right?
Yeah, no, 100%, 100%.
But the reality is that the English language is one of the few languages that doesn't have separate words for those things.
It's interesting.
So the English language, we would say body fat versus dietary fat.
Yep.
And so there's this misnomer that eating fat makes you fat. And actually, it's the opposite, that in a lot of cases, eating fat makes you thinner.
Right.
Ketogenic diets are high fat-based diets. And people get lean on ketogenic diets. And I'm not saying that's recommended for everybody, but there are diets that are devoid in fat.
Right.
Where people are eating largely large amounts of unhealthy carbohydrate consumption and they can put on a lot of body fat.
Right.
So dietary fat, meaning the fat that we eat, and body fat, meaning the fat that we store, aren't really the same thing. And the English language has not helped us out much there because we use the same word for both of those.
Right. And that can be confusing. Right?
Yeah.
It gets a little confusing. And there's actually a purpose to the fat in our body.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Like, and listen, I think that when, as we dive into it, let's talk about what the purpose of fat is. There's three primary purposes that fat provide. One is insulation to the body, right? I think we know that one. And listen, there's an interesting thing. Like in the winter, you're like, yeah, I'm actually a little bit thankful for this, this layer that I have, right? And so having a little bit of gratitude for that. The second thing is that it protects our organs. And the third thing it does is that it stores energy.
Yep.
So that's really interesting, actually.
Yeah. And I think when most people talk about fat, they're usually talking about, you know, undesirable body fat that they want to lose. There's always conversations around losing fat. What's the newest fat burning technology? What diet plan will help us burn fat quickly? But the reality is, you know, do we really know what fat is? Now we know the purposes of it. It protects our body, keeps us warm, insulates us, and helps us store energy. And without fat, we wouldn't function properly because fats get broken down. When fats get broken down, there are structures called lipids.
Right.
Most of your hormones are made out of lipids. If you've ever heard the stories about overtraining, particularly in females, like gymnasts,
right,
that they can lose their ability to have a menstrual cycle, that's because they're training to a point and their body fat gets so low that they can't actually make the hormones that they need to make anymore.
Right.
So there's a certain amount of fat that actually is healthy and is good for us. However, when does fat become too much? And at what point is it no longer healthy for us? That's what we really want to get into. But in order to understand fat more, it's not just what are its jobs and how much is enough and how much is too much, but there's actually six different types of fat.
Okay, so that's interesting. And this is one of the first times that I've really unpacked and understood that there really is six different types of it. And I'll say this, is that like anything in life, sometimes your gifts also out of balance can become your detriment, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And in that
your greatest strengths can become your greatest weaknesses.
Right.
Vice and virtue, right?
And I don't want to say fat is your greatest strength in your body, but really honestly,
it's a very unbelievable tool that God gave us. Like your brain,
yes.
Your brain is like 90% fat.
Right. And your body would be literally unable to function properly if it didn't have any fat, right? Yeah. And so I think that this is a conversation that's about balance. That's like, you can't swing too far in one direction either way on this one. Too little, too much, you need it. You have to have it. So you can't have none, right? You can't, like, I had people all the time that walked into my gym like, I want to lose 30 pounds right now. Awesome, let's chop your leg off. You know what I'm saying? No, you don't want to lose a leg, you want to get healthy, right? And so this conversation always revolves around health. So let's dive into these six different types of body fat.
Yeah. So the first one's essential fat. And this is really what we need to live and function. And what that means is there's a certain amount of fat that is essential that's found in our brains, our nerves, our bone marrow, that there is a certain amount of fat, even around our organs and certain things, that is needed on a daily basis to actually provide function, nutrition, et cetera, to our body. And so there's an essential amount of fat that without it, like if you started to lose essential fat in your brain and your brain began to demyelinate, you would actually, you know, that there's several conditions, one of which comes to mind is multiple sclerosis.
Right.
You know, some of the most dangerous conditions in the world are where our bodies are losing their capacity to retain healthy essential fat. So essential fat is, you know, critical. Then we get into what's called brown fat. So brown fat is most likely found in babies. Adults have small amounts of it too, but brown fat actually burns fatty acids. The reason why babies have more of it is because they're growing at a very, very, very rapid pace.
Right.
Breast milk really feeds into this. There's lots and lots and lots of fat and cholesterol in breast milk. And so one of the reasons that babies require so much breast milk is this idea of burning these fatty acids, which help keep their body warm. It also stimulates a lot of their and allows for a lot of their growth. And remember that babies are learning at a very remarkable pace. You know, that by the time you're like 16 years old, the amount of like brain function changes, yes, that happen between 16 and say 36,
right,
46, whatever, they're not like what a baby's going through. Like this child, its brain is so underdeveloped that it can't even fully see yet.
Right. Right.
And yet it's going to make all these neurological connections. It's going to learn to walk. It's going to learn to talk. It's going to learn, you know, like by the time this child is 3 years old, it could learn multiple languages. It could learn to play the piano. The brain is so wired for growth and so, you know, plastic at this moment that it just requires so much more. So this brown fat is primarily found in babies because it helps support a lot of that. So then we get into what we call white fat. This is what, you know, if you've ever, you know, trimmed animal meat, you see the white fat.
Right.
So the white fat is the main type of body fat that usually comes to mind. It's the type that the body uses this fat to store energy. Some of the white fat is essential, but too much can be dangerous. White fat is typically found kind of like woven in with the muscle or alongside of muscle. So if you think about, like, again, cutting up a piece of ribeye or a tenderloin, the white fat is literally the stuff that we trim off of the tenderloin. And it's actually highly nutritious when we're eating an animal, that the white fat is actually some of the best fat we can eat, as long as the animal was raised properly.
Right.
So we can get, you know, great sources of fat from other places like avocado oil and olive oil, but actually animal fat, when an animal is raised well, is actually very, very, very nutritious.
And that's a large caveat.
Yeah.
Right?
You think your grandmother used to use this type of stuff, or maybe your great grandmother, like tallow and lard, and, you know, they would actually save this fat and use it for other purposes. Beige fat, so it's a combination of the brown and white fat, is called beige fat.
We're getting into all the color. We're going to go through the whole color chart here, right?
Beige fat really assists in burning. So this is kind of cool. Beige fat assists with burning, fat burning more than fat storing. And so similarly to brown fat, exercise, stress, or even the cold, and this is where we start talking about things like cold thermogenesis, cold showers, tools like cold plunges or ice baths, that beige fat cells assist with burning fat more than storing it. And so cold and exercise may help to change white fat into beige fat.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, there's actually a hormone that's released when we get into really cold situations where our body is essentially trying to save its organs.
Right.
So it's telling it, the fat that's around, more around organs, is telling the body to then burn off the white fat, which is the body fat. And this happens when we exercise stuff too, that we will, with dietary changes, a lot of times we'll lose the fat around our organs first, but with exercise changes, a lot of times we'll lose our body fat, especially, you know, high intensity interval training, we can lose body fat first because of this beige fat phenomenon that goes on.
Okay, so that's really interesting. And it makes me really feel like we shouldn't, summer is my all time favorite season, but I shouldn't feel so hateful about winter anymore, right? Like I shouldn't, like sometimes there's a reason for every season. And I'm practically Dr. Seuss right now, but like I get it now. You know what I'm saying? Like there's something that in all of the systems that we have going from hot and cold, there's benefits on all sides of it. And it's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, let's get into the last two, and then I want to address that, because there's actually something you tapped in there that's kind of important when it comes to especially understanding fat. So then you got subcutaneous fat. So subcutaneous fat is this mixture, brown, beige, and white fat cells that's found under the skin. Most of our body is subcutaneous fat. Most of the fat in our body is subcutaneous fat. So when you think about, like, there is a layer of something. If you pinch your skin right now, you can tell that your skin moves, and then you can feel like your muscles are underneath there. You can tell you can move your skin on top of that. That's because there's a layer of fat in between your muscles and your skin. You have subcutaneous fat like around your face. If you notice when people lose weight, they lose it in their face first typically.
Right, right.
That's because they're losing that subcutaneous fat. And the face is one area where we can store a lot of subcutaneous fat.
That's cool. That's interesting.
Then there's visceral fat, and visceral fat is concentrated around our abdomen near our major organs. Visceral fat is very important to have a certain amount of it,
right?
But it's very dangerous if we increase the amount that we have.
Right.
Typically, it's not one of the first to increase, that when we gain weight, we don't typically gain it first in visceral fat.
Right.
Visceral fat is more subject to... We're more subject to gaining more visceral fat with certain types of things. So like when we're eating processed foods, and when we're eating, when we're consuming too much alcohol, we can actually develop more visceral fat, because visceral fat is there to protect our organs from toxicity in some regards. So rather than the toxicity of like processed food or alcohol ending up
right
in our bloodstream, in fat that we're going to break down later on for the purpose of trying to make energy out of it, it ends up getting stored around these organs to protect the organs from absorbing a lot of these chemicals. So
you've
heard of fatty liver,
right?
That happens with alcoholism. Fatty liver is one of those that it's literally your body is using it as a defense mechanism to try to protect itself. But if you don't stop the process, it can continue to get worse and worse and worse. Visceral fat is when you see someone and they're bigger than they ought to be, but their body looks like it might be really hard.
Yeah. Right? Yes. Yes.
So you think of like not the person that like has loose body fat hanging off. I know this isn't a sightly picture, but the person who almost looks like their skin's too tight.
Right.
That's the organ. The organs have gotten large. There's a great picture of this. I don't remember where it was from, but they showed these scans they do of people, and they showed, you know, when we get in the obese category, we start getting larger. Our body, not just like, but our like our entire trunk starts swelling, getting starts larger swelling because up. Of all this excessive visceral fat. So that's the most dangerous kind of fat.
And it's interesting because it's composed of that white fat, but it's concentrated right around your stomach and definitely around other organs as well. But it's some of the most dangerous type of fat because it's linked to this release of certain hormones and proteins that result in inflammation. Right. And inflammation. We've talked about that. If you've listened in the past, you can go back and you can find past episodes specifically on inflammation.
Yeah. But the dangers of the inflammation are literally causes damage to your arteries, your liver. Your body can have trouble breaking down, you know, fat and sugar because of this excessive amount of inflammation. So inflammation also is kind of at the root of most diseases. Like once that inflammation really takes over, disease processes can get out of control. Visceral fat promotes the production of LDL cholesterol. So the more visceral fat you have, the likelihood of your LDL going up and your LDL getting way out of ratio with your HDLs and triglycerides and you know your whole total cholesterol numbers getting out of whack, the more weight we put on, typically visceral fat, the more harmful this LDL fat can have, which our LDL is directly linked to sclerosing and narrowing and closing off of our arteries. So that's why it can be so dangerous.
So listen, here's the cold hard facts of it, right? Is that when you look across the board at Americans, 41.9% are classified as obese, meaning that they have an overabundance of harmful white and visceral fat in their bodies. 41.9.
Yeah.
That is alarming.
And even though tools are helpful, like BMI charts, right? BMI charts can be very helpful. But if you look at a BMI chart, they're not perfectly accurate. They're a tool. What's better is looking at your body fat percentage.
Right.
You know, on a BMI chart, for instance, I'm 6'2" and I weigh about 230 pounds. That puts me into the overweight heading towards obese category.
Right, right.
Now, there are people who are 6'2" that weigh 230 pounds that are 9% body fat. Right. And there are people who are 6'2", 230 pounds that are 29% body fat.
Right.
And so there's a large difference in body mass when it comes to percentages of fat. So one of the best things you can do is actually evaluate your body fat by percentage. The easiest way to do this is there are scales that do it. You can pick up a body fat scale for probably under $100. And it tells you multiple things. One of my favorite things that a body fat scale will give you is sometimes they'll give you your basal metabolic rate. They'll also give you something called your metabolic age. So if your metabolic age is older than your actual age, that's not a good thing. But the reality is that a lot of us walking around have excessive or an overabundance of harmful white and visceral fat in our bodies, and we need to really get this under control. Where does it come from? Why is obesity on the rise? Why is this getting bad? Typically, most of it's what's happening nutritionally in the United States with the standard American diet. And then if you have listened to our show in the past, we talk about things like sedentary lifestyles. We talk about how a large percentage of Americans, like close to 80%, sit excessively.
Yes.
And they do not get enough activity throughout the day simply because we work 8-hour days and then go home, and the average American watches a couple hours of TV. So we get in this scenario where we're literally sitting 10 plus hours a day.
Right.
And not moving.
Yes. And go back on the podcast and you're going to hear these episodes where we really dive deep into those numbers. But I think it's really important right now to draw a line in the sand here that obesity is on the rise, but what is the cause, right? And listen, you are going to be, and we have seen, I have never seen anything like this in my life, and it is absolutely sickening to see, but we've seen this rollout of information, and I think that it's going to keep coming, and it's probably going to come in bigger tidal waves that is trying to convince us that obesity is nothing that's within our own power to change or affect. And this is significant to me because listen, I'm raising a daughter and I owned a gym for 10 years and I had to be able to have very intentional conversations about weight with people without offending and with being as gracious as we possibly can. Right. And listen, I'm here to do that. And my intention is never, I never go into a conversation and say, you know, like whether it's like you're overweight or you're, you know, and we say the word fat. I mean, it's very aggressive language, but at the same time, I never want someone to lose weight just for the idea of losing weight and the aesthetic value of it. To me, it's important to lose weight because losing weight goes hand in hand with your health, where you're at, your longevity, your health.
Only when you have it to lose.
Right.
So if we're carrying around more body fat than what's healthy, then losing weight is a byproduct of getting healthy.
Exactly.
Like when you go to get healthy, when you exercise, when you start eating right, then if you're doing things properly and you have excessive body weight, one of the natural occurrences that should happen is you should start losing excessive body weight. That right. We should eat in such a way that it only sustains our activity levels and not extra body fat.
Right.
And we should also exercise in such a way that we actually are able to burn any calories that might then turn into extra body fat.
Absolutely.
If we ate more than we should have. So there's this balance there that's a really a beautiful balance that we need to, you know, work with. So that being said, the slow metabolism thing, because we work on these. We have a metabolism makeover class right. That we do. Let's unpack this a bit. What actually is your metabolism? Can metabolism be fast or slow? Could this be the reason that people aren't losing weight? So what is your metabolism? It's simply responsible for all the functions in your body of keeping you alive, including your heart rate, your breathing, your immune system, your sex hormones, and so much more. And
right.
Really, our metabolism is how our bodies take the food we eat, carbohydrate, protein, fat, vitamins, minerals, et cetera, and then turn them into energy or heat. So we either turn them into energy, do something, or we turn them into heat or insulation or reactions that happen in the body. Our digestive system breaks down these sugars, nutrients, proteins, et cetera, and then transports them to be used as fuel. And then this fuel can be used immediately or it can be stored as potential energy for the future, and it gets stored in our tissues, and that is called fat. That is, it's glycogen stores, but the glycogen gets stored in certain tissues. And so there is an amount of this that is simply, if we look at what fat is, it's stored energy.
Yes, yes.
But some of us have enough stored energy to do what we really need to do, and some of us have storehouses of stored energy we've been storing too much of it.
Right.
Too much to the point where now we can't even utilize it.
Right. And now that pendulum swings from helpful over to harmful. Right.
And there are certain things that can affect this where you could actually store more. You can become weight loss resistant to some degree because we're eating foods that are so toxic that our body is storing the toxins in the fat, and then our body doesn't want to burn the fat because it doesn't want to re-release the toxins.
Yes.
So there's important components of this when it comes to understanding your metabolism that you got to dive deeper into some of this. That's why we do our metabolism makeover every year around this time of year. Go to a Max Living office, go to maxliving.com, find a Max Living office near you to find out where there's a metabolism makeover happening. They're mostly coming up in the next few weeks. But your metabolism is a term really for all these chemical processes that are occurring in the body, right?
Right.
They require energy. So there's this thing called your BMR, your basal metabolic rate, that is essentially refers to the amount of energy required to do all these things.
Right. And I always think of the plant basil, like a little tomato mozzarella with a little basil on it. But
basil,
that's not what we're talking about.
Base, like your base metabolic rate. So for instance, you require enough energy every day that your heart has to beat however many times a minute times 24 hours in a day, right? So there's an amount of energy required for that.
Yes.
Respiration takes energy. Moving around takes energy.
Right.
Making sex hormones takes energy. Digestion takes energy. So if you add all this up, your BMR accounts for about 70% of your body's entire daily needs. Like right now, you're converting muscle into fat or fat into, you know, like you're converting tissue types. If you need to, like if you worked out yesterday, you might be releasing certain types of tissue, like you might be burning fat, so to speak.
Right.
But your BMR is about 70% of your body's daily energy requirements. And then the rest of it is exercise dependent and stuff that's like not actually what you have to necessarily run all the operations per se, just extra demand on your body. So a slow metabolism is when people have a really low BMR, because what's happened is they don't have as much muscle. There's some of these functions like hormones and stuff that have not been functioning well. And so we're requiring less energy because we're actually not doing as much.
Okay, so that is so interesting. And I don't want to gloss over it too fast, but essentially what you're saying is that a slow metabolism is more accurately described as a low BMR.
Yeah, low BMR, low basal metabolic rate, because it's just simply the energy required to do what you do on a daily basis. And so if you you're very active, your job's very active, like somebody who sits all day long at work versus somebody who stands all day long at work, their BMR is going to be higher if they stand, because they require more energy just to do what they do every single day baseline rate there.
I feel like we should put a pin in it right here, because what's interesting about this metabolism conversation is that there are offices all over the country, ours included right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, and all over the country that are taking, this is like the appetizer. This is like the tuna tartare that came out on the table before your actual like full course of like really diving into your metabolism, into how it works, into how you can work with it and not against it, and how you cannot feel like you were, you know, doomed to this horrible metabolism and other people were blessed with a great one, but to really realize that every choice that you're making, you're either working for it or against it, and let's just work with it. Yeah, and we'll teach you how.
We're going to dive into this at our metabolism makeovers. I mean, we're going to talk about how age changes your BMR. Genetics can change your BMR. Diet can change your BMR. When we say genetics can change your BMR, you can change your genetics.
Yes.
Some of you guys don't know that and realize that to be true, but there's a study called epigenetics that shows that everything we do, every choice we make, diet, mindset, exercise, everything literally changes our gene expression. So then diet becomes important. We're going to teach you how to exercise in a way to get your BMR moving. What should your lifestyle be like? Do you sit at a desk, stand at a desk? Do you park far away? Do you park close? How do we get our BMR up? What are some of the ways we can do that? One of the ways you get your BMR up, and I'll leave you with this, is that the more muscle we develop, so the higher body mass index we have that's muscle dependent, the more of our body fat percentage is muscle, the more our BMR, or the higher our BMR goes up, because muscle requires more energy to maintain it, because we utilize it. It's a very functional tissue in terms of utilization. So every day, for every pound of muscle we have, our BMR has to be higher than if that was a pound of fat.
Yes.
And so one of the best things you can do, and women don't like hearing this, but sometimes getting in the gym, working out, gaining some muscle mass, which means you're actually going to what? Gain a little bit of weight first, will speed up your BMR. Your BMR then will have an effect on raising that BMR, will cause you to burn more calories throughout the day. You burn more calories throughout the day, you burn more body fat, your percentage of muscle mass is now higher, and it just keeps going. And so one of the best ways you can speed up your basal metabolic rate is actually putting on a little bit of muscle mass.
So true. So accurate. Some of the best advice that you could give out there. I love this. I love this episode. I love where we're going with it. And I love these workshops that are happening, this kickstarting your metabolism makeover that are going on in our office and all the Max Living offices across the country. Go to maxliving.com/locations. Find a location near you. Give them a call. Find out when that Kickstart Your Metabolism Makeover is happening. Make sure you're there. Grab a seat. Reserve your spot. And it is going to be life-changing. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Max Living Podcast. Take responsibility for your health today by finding a Max Living doctor near you at maxliving.com/locations.